Doesn't say it on here, but this is part two. Because last week it was where there is a mission, there is a message. I expanded on that last week, a theme that has been progressive, and progressive in a good way. Progressive in that we're moving from one point to another, we're making progress. Ultimately beginning with identifying who are we and why have we been created. Ultimately, what did I conclude? That we are both warriors and messengers, created by the hand of the potter, in that we are his work. Then the second part of this theme has been looking at the mission we have been created for. As believers who have accepted the call of the kingdom, having been enlisted in Adonai's army, he has a mission for us. A kingdom army comprised of Jewish and Gentile warriors, an army equipped not with a physical sword, but with a spiritual sword, that is the Word of God. The third aspect, for which we're in the middle of now, we're exploring the message of the mission. Last week we looked at Shaul's first comprehensive endeavor, having been called and thus sent. He went to Perga and proclaimed the word of Adonai in the synagogue. I shared with you Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Having set sail from Paphos, Shaul and his companions arrived at Perga in Pamphylia. There Yochanan left and returned to Jerusalem. But the others went on to Perga, to Poseidon, Antioch. And on Shabbat they went into the synagogue and sat down. They weren't stoned when they sat down. They weren't confronted when they sat down. But this is interesting in verse 15. After the reading of the Torah and from the prophets, the synagogue leaders sent them a message. Brothers, if any of you has a word of exhortation for the people, speak. I can tell you right now, I would not be afforded that gracious invitation if I went into any synagogue. As we looked at the first comprehensive mission of Shaul, two things stood out. The first was the message of the prophets. The second was forgiveness of sins. This Shabbat, we will delve into the first part, the message of the prophets. Because at that same time, in that same synagogue, Shaul says this, "Brothers, sons of Abraham, and those among you who are God-fearers." Who's he talking to? Jew and Gentile. It is to us that the message of this deliverance has been sent. For the people living in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize who Yeshua was or understand the message of the prophets, read every Shabbat, so they fulfilled that message by condemning him. The message of the prophets read every Shabbat. In other words, it's not a repeat of the same thing. It's just a consistent message from prophet to prophet. So just what is the message of the prophets? Shaul is conveying what appears to be universal in grouping the prophets together. The role of a prophet of Adonai is to convey his words to the people of the nation. Adonai conveys how he speaks to the prophets. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6, he said, "Listen to what I say. When there is a prophet among you, I, Adonai, make myself known to him in visions, and I speak to him in a dream." Visions and dreams are how prophets receive not the word of God, but think of it as the connective tissue that brings the word of God together. Speaking with them in dreams and visions, some of the message were prophetic in that they would provide guidance of the future for the nation. The book of Daniel is based on several visions. Ezekiel is asked many times, "What do you see?" This is how Adonai communicated with them, consistent with what he had conveyed to Aaron and Miriam. This was God speaking in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6 when he said, "I speak to prophets, I give them dreams, and I speak to them through visions." Of those messages that were given to the prophets, many of them focused towards Messiah, the coming King of Israel, identified as both a servant and a king. These were not two separate messages or messengers, but were one. The challenge, both then and today, is in understanding these prophecies in context. Based on this challenging aspect is the reason why Shaul was proclaiming the word of Adonai in the synagogue, even though the word of Adonai was already in the synagogue. Torah and the prophets are read every Shabbat, so their presence was not the issue. Shaul, a messenger sent by Adonai, whose mission was, in essence, to connect the dots between what is written and what had happened in relation to Yeshua. We will explore more of this in the weeks to come. Right now, I'm focusing on one aspect. The majority of those messages from the prophets, what were they? They were warnings to the people who were straying from Adonai. They were, in essence, doing their own thing. If it feels good to me, well, do more of it, without taking into account Adonai himself. Here is, in essence, the call of Ezekiel. Starting in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, he said to me, "Human being, stand up." To use a phrase from Jerry, "pull up your tent pegs. I want to speak with you." How many of you have been confronted by, "I want to speak with you"? Uh-oh, this can't be good. But it is. "As he spoke to me, a spirit entered me and put me on my feet, and I heard him who was speaking to me. He said, 'Human being, I am sending you to the people of Israel, that nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been transgressing against me to this very day. Because they are defiant, hard-hearted children, I am sending you. And you are to tell them, here is what Adonai says. You're sending me?" This isn't what he said, but "you're sending me? You're sending me to a vast nation, one individual, where in today's society, what is it? Majority rule? This is what he says. Whether they listen or not, he's already giving him an out. Okay, the burden isn't fully on you. Whether they listen or not, this rebellious house will still know that a prophet has been among them." Keeping in mind, Ezekiel wasn't the first prophet to speak. So there is a history of prophets throughout Israel's history. But he goes on, "As for you, human being, don't be afraid of them or their words. Even if briars and thorns surround you and you sit among scorpions, don't be afraid of their words or be upset by their looks. For they are a rebellious house. You are to speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are very rebellious." So Ezekiel is being prepared to use another prophet, going into the lion's den. He's in essence being told, if you don't have a thick skin now, grow one. You'll need it. What was his mission? What was his mission? Simply put, to go to the people of Israel and speak my words, the words of God to them. He was his messenger. He was one, but he was not powerless. He may have been outnumbered. But what did Adonai say? He said, they will know that a prophet's been among them. Now let's look at the prophet Isaiah for a minute. Starting in chapter 1, verse 1. This is the vision of Yeshayahu, Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Yeshayahu, kings of Judah. Four kings. He transcended the time of four kings. Hear heaven, listen earth. For Adonai is speaking. I raised and brought up children, but they rebelled against me. The words a parent never really wants to hear. I brought up my children, but they rebelled against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's stall. But Israel does not know. My people do not reflect. O sinful nation, a people weighed down by iniquity, descendants of evildoers, immoral children. They have abandoned Adonai, spurned the Holy One of Israel, turned their backs on him. Where should I strike you next as you persist in rebelling? The whole head is sick and the whole heart diseased. This is Isaiah 1, 1 through 5. Talk about setting the stage for what Isaiah would be doing. This passage of Isaiah is known as the chazon, the vision. It starts off, how do I put this? It provides a very negative report, yet it will not end negatively. I've shared this with you before. But this vision given to Isaiah of what is to be done and how it will be conveyed to the nation. What's he conveying? Adonai is saying that they are rebelling. Who are they rebelling against? They are rebelling against him. So in both cases of Ezekiel and Isaiah, they have been sent to a rebellious people to, in essence, how do I say this? They are confronting the nation with their transgressions. This passage of, So these are two of Adonai's messengers who have been tasked to speak to a nation that is in rebellion. What is their message and that of the prophets to this nation? The first two aspects were identifying the issue. But identifying the issue is not the message. In Ezekiel 14, starting in verse 6, therefore say to the house of Israel that Adonai says, repent, turn yourselves away from your idols, turn your faces away from all your disgusting practices. For everyone, whether from the house of Israel or a foreigner living in Israel, who separates himself from me and takes his idols into his heart, thus setting in front of himself the stumbling block that leads to sin, and then comes to the prophet asking him to consult me for him, I myself and I will answer him. Notice what the action is. Ezekiel is saying, repent. Turn from your evil ways. Turn from what will become a stumbling block. Did you notice who this instruction of repentance was to? It wasn't just to Israel, but the foreigner living in Israel. The people of Israel and the foreigner. Could this be a remez, a hint of what is to come? That this message of repentance is not just for Adonai's nation, but for all nations as well. Now, I want you to consider the consistency of the message of the prophets. In Ezekiel 18, starting in verse 26, when the righteous person turns away from his righteousness and commits wickedness, he will die for it. A wicked person can't become more wicked. He's already there. But when a righteous person turns away from his righteousness, it leads to death. He goes from righteousness to wickedness. Verse 27, and when the wicked person turns away from all the wickedness he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he will save his life. There's no exemptions here. What are the two people here? The righteous and the wicked. One leads to death, one leads to life. Verse 29, yet the house of Israel says, Adonai's way isn't fair. Does any of this bring up a drash that Jerry did a while ago? God's not fair. Doesn't matter if God's fair or not. Yet the house of Israel says, Adonai's way isn't fair. House of Israel, is it my ways that are unfair or your ways that are unfair? He's turning it over to them. Am I unfair or are you being unfair to me? Verse 30. Therefore, house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways, says Adonai. Here's this word again. Repent and turn yourselves away from all your transgressions, so that they will not be a stumbling block that brings guilt upon you. Throw far away from yourselves all your crimes that you committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? He's presenting life to them. Why should you die for your transgressions? He's giving them an opportunity. And verse 32, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, says Adonai. So turn yourselves around and live. Consider this part of the message, a compare and contrast between a righteous person and an unrighteous or wicked person. Then Ezekiel pivots directly to the nation, identifying them as the unrighteous and the wicked person of the scenario. And yet it wasn't truly a message of hopelessness, but one of encouragement and possibility. The opportunity is there. It's waiting for you. You have to take that step. I can't take it for you. The message of repentance is one that brings life, because Adonai conveys through Ezekiel, he takes no pleasure in judgment and the consequences of it, but would rather see the wicked repent and turn to Adonai with the promise of life. For some of you who are thinking ahead, are you seeing the consistency of the message of the prophets with everything you've ever heard in the New Covenant writings? We see this continually through the prophets. Jeremiah chapter 3. Now, I'm only going to share a few with you, but in my notes, I'll have all the other ones listed. So when it's posted online, you'll be able to look at it further. Jeremiah 3:18. In those days, the house of Judah will live together with the house of Israel. they will come together from the lands in the north to the land I gave your ancestors as their inheritance. I thought that I would like to put you among the sons with inheritance rights and give you a pleasant land, the best heritage of all the nations. I thought that you would call me my father and never stop following me. But like a faithless woman who betrays her husband, you, house of Israel, have betrayed me, says Adonai. Sound is heard on the heights, the house of Israel crying, pleading for mercy, because they have perverted their ways and forgotten Adonai their God. Then you have this call going out in verse 22. Return, backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Here we are. We are coming to you, for you are Adonai our God. What do we have in verse 22 but the image of the prodigal son returning? That which was once lost being found. These little parables that appear in the New Covenant, it's no different here. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. Adonai shouts orders to his forces. His army is immense, mighty, and it does what he says. For great is the day of Adonai, the day of judgment, fearsome and terrifying. Who can endure it? Yet even now, verse 12, says Adonai, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and lamenting. Tear your heart, not your garments, and turn to Adonai your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, and willing to change his mind about disaster. Tearing your garments is one of an action of grief, of mourning. Tearing your heart is one of submitting your heart to him. Zechariah chapter 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Dariush, the following message from Adonai came to Zechariah, the prophet. Adonai was extremely angry with your ancestors. Therefore, tell them that Adonai says this, return to me, says Adonai, and I will return to you. Return to me, take that first step, and I'll take a step to you. Return to me, and I will return to you. Don't be like your ancestors. The earlier prophets proclaimed to them, Adonai says to turn back now from your evil ways and deeds. But they didn't listen or pay attention to me. What do we have here but a systemic and generational issue? Prophets numerous, generations numerous, the issue the same. Don't be like your ancestors. Verse 5, your ancestors, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my laws, which I ordered my servants, the prophets, overtook your ancestors, didn't they? Then they turned and said, Adonai has dealt with us according to our ways and deeds, as he intended to do. A message of return to me and laying out the benefits of returning versus the consequences of not returning. How about Isaiah 55? Open your ears and come to me. Listen well, and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the grace I assured David. I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and lawgiver for the peoples. You will summon a nation you do not know, and a nation that doesn't know you will run to you. For the sake of Adonai your God, the Holy One of Israel, who will glorify you. Seek Adonai while he is available. call on him while he is still nearby. Let the wicked person abandon his way and the evil person his thoughts. Let him return to Adonai, and he will have mercy on him. Let him return to our God, for he will freely forgive. Going back to the prodigal son, the father didn't ask, well, you can come in if, or well, you can come back, but. Same scenario. He welcomed them. Freely forgive. But there's still a cost to be forgiven. And ultimately that cost will be paid by Adonai, but we have to contribute our part. We have to, in essence, give up that which took us away from him. And in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Adonai. As high as the sky is above the earth, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The human mind is not fully equipped or has the capacity to truly understand the free forgiveness of how God draws his people back to him. He freely forgives, yet there's no condition on returning except that you have to turn back to him. He's waiting at the door. Yet what are you doing? You're still going the other way. The question, you can't see him if you're going the other way. How about Nehemiah 1:8-9? Remember, please, the words you gave through your servant Moses. If you break faith, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me, observe my mitzvot and obey them. Then even if your scattered ones are in the most distant part of heaven, nevertheless, I will collect them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen for bearing my name. Nehemiah goes all the way back to Moses. Who is Moses? But ultimately the greatest prophet of Israel. Great in that he is referenced to this very day. Adonai spoke with him directly, not like the other prophets. But it isn't that way with my servant Moses. He is the only one who is faithful in my entire household. With him I speak face to face and clearly, not in riddles. He sees the image of Adonai, so why weren't you afraid to criticize my servant Moses? Now I'm not comparing Moses to Yeshua because we're talking two very different aspects, but he would be the likeness by which Yeshua would appear. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Adonai will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen. You are to pay attention to him. Just as when you were assembled at Horeb and requested Adonai your God, don't let me hear the voice of Adonai my God anymore, or let me see this great fire ever again. If I do, I will die. On that occasion, Adonai said to me, they are right in what they are saying. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. Whoever doesn't listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, will have to account for himself to me. So what does Yeshua do but actually exemplify the prophet Moses? Making Moses great in nature. And ultimately, what would he do as well? But he would prophesy to the people even before they were a nation in the land promised to them. Moses would convey from Adonai their future. And keeping in mind, notice the word that's not there. When the time arrives that all these things have come upon you, both the blessing and the curse, which I have presented to you, and you are living among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. What word is not there? If. He doesn't say, if the time comes, when? He says, when the time comes. And then he goes on. And you will return to Adonai your God and pay attention to what he has said, which will be exactly what I am ordering you to do today, you and your children, with all your heart and all your being. At that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples to which Adonai your God has scattered you. If one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there to get you. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. So unlike all the other prophets, Moses was a different prophet, yet he had the same message as well. Repent and return. So in closing, let me use the words of the writer of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. So then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us too put aside every impediment, that is the sin which easily hampers our forward movement. There's that aspect again. The peg. You have to remove the peg in order to move forward. And keep running with endurance in the contest set before us. So let me use this analogy from from Numbers chapter 12. And I'm dovetailing on Jerry's drosh. You can't move forward until you remove the peg. What was one of the things that she talked about that inhibits moving forward? Murmuring. What happened in Numbers chapter 12, but Aaron and Miriam were murmuring against Moses? Then what happened? God came down, rebuked them. And what happened to Miriam? She was sent out of the camp for 7 days. What did that prevent? That prevented from Israel from moving because they had to wait for her. One individual's murmurings can affect the whole body. So next Shabbat, we will look at the results of Teshuvah, the results of this idea of repentance, return to me. So if everybody will please rise.